All right. Brother Burke said he thought Brother Perkins would look good in a sombrero, and I said, see. All right. Open your Bibles to 1 John. We'll get into that in chapter 3 here in just a little bit. Good to see everyone. It is a pretty day. I hope the storm's not scaring some folks away. I always have an attitude like this. I had it with the COVID scare and other scares that have come along. I'd rather be trusting God in it, not shortchanging the Lord. I want him to protect me. I think we ought to go ahead and be faithful to God. So I know a lot of folks are listening online, but if everybody did, we wouldn't need the building, would we? And pretty soon we wouldn't need anything. It's real easy to just fade out. And first thing you do is you don't get your Bible when you're watching online. You get a cup of coffee instead. And next thing you know, you get up to take care of this and get up to take care of that. Next thing you know, you didn't get near as much out of it as maybe you did the first few times. How many of you ever heard yourself on a tape recorder for the first time? Do you remember that? That was a kind of a thrill to us, and we didn't even sound like ourselves, did we? Remember that? But then we got used to all that stuff. The more we get used to something, the more we shortchange it, the more we shortcut it. And we have to be careful about that. The scripture doesn't say assemble around the TV. It says forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Where do we get together? In the house of God. Amen. I'd encourage you to be faithful to it. I do pray against the storm. I don't want to pray it on anybody else. I'm just asking the Lord to let it spin out there somewhere and hurt nobody. If it does come, we'll deal with it with God's grace. We've done it before, but we sure don't look forward to it. It can not only mess up things, but it can cause a lot of work here at church. There's a lot of stuff around here that it's messed up in the past that we... Some of it might still be in repair stage even to this day when we had the four in a row. The only time we had to miss a Sunday morning service in this building was during that first storm that hit us when they had four in a row. We did go on back down to the college chapel at night, and the storm was still blowing and raining, but we had a fair crowd that showed up for Sunday night service down at the college during those times. Anyway, let's pray against it, and I think that's all right with the Lord for us to do that. Brother Perkins already referenced it. We had a great teachers' workers' banquet Friday night, and heard some new plans. I thank the Lord for Brother Parson having a vision to keep improving things and making things a little more efficient. And so we're doing some restructuring around in some of the rooms, but relocating to make it more convenient. All of us have had this experience in here. Visitors come and say, where do I send my kids? And we said, somewhere. We got a room for them around here somewhere. He kind of is getting it better organized. And I praise the Lord for that. So there's a map. I believe it's over here on the wall. Go over and study that a little bit. So when somebody comes in and asks you that question, ushers or deacons or somebody will know right where to take that aged child. And also the drop-off spots for the buses. That's always been a challenge. And they're rearranging that a little bit. So you pray about it. I believe we got some good things ahead and good time to be prepared. We do believe somebody that went north may come back this time of year. It's about time for them to start coming back. And if they don't, in a couple of weeks, we'll start praying for snow up there. Amen. Amen. All right, well, your Bible's open to 1 John. I'm going to just remind you, we covered about... first three verses here in chapter 3, and they're powerful verses. And talking about the Lord's coming now again in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him, what's the hope? Well, in verse 2, it was the hope that he would appear. He will appear The scripture says, and that we'll know him when he comes. Oh, that's so good. Better that he knows us. Amen, for sure. And we'll be like him, it said in verse 2. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, John is talking a lot about sin. He's talking to the church family. He's talking to us, so to speak, with a little inside information. Our relationship as a family member in the Lord's family. And that hope helps us to live right. You know, if you, I think about the school principal that came to visit the one of the classes at school. And he told them, he said, now, I am coming back. And when I come back, there's going to be a prize for the one that has the neatest desk. Now, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming back, but the one that has the best kept desk will get a prize. So he walked out and left. Immediately, one little girl began to straighten up her desk. And some of the rest of them said, well, you know, why are you doing that now? You've got a lot of time. She says, no, I don't know when he's coming back. I want to get it right now. And boy, that's the attitude we ought to have as God's people. We ought to be ready all the time. And John says, if we got this hope in us, it'll purify us. We believe he's coming. Anybody see in the paper this week? It was, well, I don't even take a paper anymore. I quit the liberal paper I was taking. So I get a little bit off our radio station. I don't have a phone to get it off of, so I get a little bit off the TV news, and I only watch Fox or Newsmax. I don't watch none of the fake liberal stuff. But anyway, in the news this week, they delivered 5 red heifer cows from Texas to Israel. So what's the significance of that? Quite a bit. Some of you remember, you older folks, will remember when I really preached on Sunday night and liked to never let you go home at night on the ashes of the red heifer. And many of you know something about that. And I don't know when that was, late 70s, early 80s, somewhere, but I preached a lot about the ashes of the red heifer. That's necessary in the Jewish religion of the stuff that we read about in the Bible, and just to give you a brief statement on it, from the time of the tabernacle worship and the offering of the first red heifer, which was offered by Moses, that red heifer was finally, the remains of it was burned in ashes. Ashes had to be used in many of the other follow-up ceremonies. And they stored those ashes, and they'd last for a long time. We'll call it in a jar. And they still probably have some of the last red heifer's ashes, but they cannot build the temple until the next red heifer is found and offered. And that will be the 10th one. Now, the Jewish rabbis believed that the 10th one would be offered by the Messiah himself, which means he's got to come back. Well, you and I know who the Messiah is. That's Jesus. Amen. So in Israel, in Orthodox Judaism, they're excited about the times. This month, in fact, I think, is it today or tomorrow or next day? We're right on the closing out now of Rosh Hashanah. And many, even New Testament scholars, Christians, believe that the Lord, of course, fulfilled, you know, you got seven of the major festival days, religious days in Israel. The Passover, we know about that, the Jews coming out of Egypt and the blood being put on the doorpost. Well, Paul says that Jesus is our Passover. We understand that. He was offered on the cross at the very right timing to be the Passover. And so from that time till this, there's been some red heifers offered, but they're hard to find because they have to be found without blemish, without spot. They have to be totally red, not one gray hair on it, not one black hair on it. So time and time again now for the last number of years, they've been looking for the red heifer, and every time they thought they found one, they'd sort of pin it up and watch it and be examined. Is this the one? Is this the one? Is God saying, this is the final red heifer? And every time, sooner or later, a blemish would show up. Grow a black hair or a white hair or something would be, some blemish would be found, and it just wasn't the one. Well, the rabbis believed they had a right to find the red heifer anywhere. It didn't have to just be raised in Israel. And so for a long time now, some folks in America have been trying to breed the red heifer. Texas has been in the spotlight for this for a while. And so here recently, they've been claiming, and it has to be a certain age, and I think what it is now, I think the heifers they just sent to Israel are maybe around 2 years old, but I forget now the age of the heifer, has to be when it's offered. I'm hearing a fan back there. I've already told Brother Richard about it, so just put that out of your mind. I don't know if we're fixing to take off or what. It's one of the air conditioning fans cutting loose, I think. But anyway, they've sent the heifers. Now, here's an interesting thing about them. They can't have a blemish. But there's a law in Texas that every time a calf is born, it has to have its ear clipped with a little tag put in it. Well, if that be the case, then that those heifers would have a blemish. It disqualify them. Interesting thing, COVID came along. And, of course, inspectors that come out to tag the calves, they were scared of COVID too. So they didn't come. So these five have not been tagged. just coincidence probably. But it's interesting, huh? The truth is, here's five sent to Israel. Will one of them finally qualify at the right time to be the 10th red heifer, the final one, the 10th one, that's supposed to be offered by the Messiah? So when you lay home this morning to watch us online, when you could have come, wouldn't it be something if Jesus came today? He's coming soon. Here we are at the end of this Rosh Hashanah. It may be that it will be fulfilled. That's the Feast of the Trumpets. You know, on Rosh Hashanah, the feast day of the Jews, it's a time of blowing of trumpets. So on Rosh Hashanah, they blow trumpets every day for the month. And that's, by the way, that's the month of September with us. We'd call it the ninth month, but the Jews call it the seventh month. And the Jews are right. If you look at the S-E-P-T, that has to do with seven. So it's the seventh month. I know the Roman calendar and all that business, but I'm saying in the Jewish religion, it's the seventh month. So that's what we are into. And the end of that month, into Rosh Hashanah, they blow trumpets every day of the month, trumpets, 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 and then they skip a day at the end of the month, and then they blow what we know from the New Testament is the last trump. You got that? The last trump? What does Paul say? He said at the last trump. Everybody wants to count trumpets all kind of different ways in the scripture, and there's a pile of trumpets and trumpets through the book of Revelation, but the last one, there is one marked, and it's not, don't think about it as a trumpet like you see Brother Bert blow. I don't know what God's looks like. Probably looks more like a lamb horn, shofar. But anyway, it's not the trumpet to look at. It's the scripture says the sound of the trumpet. So that's what's important is the sound of the trumpet. Who's going to hear the sound? Those that are saved. They're going up to be with the Lord. That's what Paul calls our gathering unto him. And truth is, I'd just rather be in the house of God when that happens than watching it on TV. I challenge you. If you've gotten a habit over COVID, by the way, nobody in our congregation died over COVID. Very few honestly died over. Just as many died over swine flu, bird flu, general flu, any kind of flu. But boy, didn't they use it on us. Shut down the churches. scare God's people to death. That's a shame on God's people that we let the world control us with the fear of death when we are the ones that have the answer to death. The only answer. The only ones that have victory over it. So don't let this world fake you out. They are good fakers. I'm going to get to that in the scripture right here. John said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I'm going to read on down a little bit. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. If somebody asks you this question, what is sin? Say quickly, it's the transgression of the law, God's law. That's plain right there in the verse. Had a fellow at a service station one time, offered him a tract. He said, I don't need that. I said, well, it tells you how to get your sins forgiven. He said, I have no sins. I said, what you just said will do until you do find some sin, because you just lied. He didn't like that much, but he was lying, and that's a sin. Amen. And the truth is, it's a transgression of God's law. You bear false witness, you're transgressing God's law. You kill somebody. You see in the news this week, oh, by the way, y'all better watch it. You see in the news where the guy took a truck, run over an 18-year-old, called the police on himself and said, I think he was one of those MAGA Republicans. So you may have a target on you and don't know it. We've gone to a crazy age, haven't we, folks? I mean, a terrible age that we've moved in today. And this scripture here, he's talking to us in the family. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth the law. Verse 5, we know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Amen. Then he says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. I want to say this about it. It's true that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but let me say this to the believer. Sin is a possibility for you, but it is not mandatory that you sin. You have a choice. And I understand that even an evil thought can be sin. And most of our sins will be sins of omission, where we should have done something we didn't do. I understand all that. But the truth is, if we abide in him, that's Bible reading, that's church going, that's living clean, that's being honest. Abiding in him, his rules is what we're going by. And so if we abideth in him, we sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, John's a little tough on this. Remember, God is inspiring John. John has not yet, at this point, written the book of Revelation. He's probably not in prison when he's writing this epistle. But after he writes this, he will be arrested. They will try to kill him according to the historical records. And God supernaturally preserves him. So he winds up on the Isle of Patmos in a prison island. Same thing as if he was in Alcatraz. And out there on that prison island, God shows him why he spared him and gives him the book of Revelation that we just finished here in Sunday school. God is still going to have his way. And that was the world power, Rome. Nobody could defy Rome, but God did. And he can defy this system today. Now what we're seeing today is the Antichrist kingdom coming back, trying to take control of the world, and it's getting very close to it, including America. And God is still the one they're going to have to face with it. He's still going to have the final decision, and he's going to finally have the kingdom when he sets his son on the throne of David and rules and reigns for 1,000 years on planet Earth. Now it says here, little children, talking to family now, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. In other words, believe your eyes. We got a media today tells you don't believe your lying eyes, believe what they say. Little children, let no man deceive you. We in the day of deception. I've said this for so long. If there's one big end time sign of the return of the Lord, it is the sign of deception. Everywhere you're being deceived. If it's just nothing but commercials on TV, I hope you don't believe half the commercials you see on TV. In fact, very small percentage of them you better put any faith in. Man is so good at lying and cheating and deceiving. It is the most amazing thing that we look and see today. And it's too bad, but that's it. You know, we see deception. You say, "Well, don't bother us, not in our area." Yes, it does. Big time. Even in our church. You know, our church is well known now. When we first started out, I'd go around here and knock doors in town when we run about 30 people, and they'd say, "Who are you and where are you at?" And I don't believe I know where that church is. That's not true anymore. They know all about us. And because they know all about us, we have been the target more than one time of deception and crookery and fraud. Oh, yeah. The congregation maybe never knew about it. It was not necessary for them to know. We have people that do the cheapest tricks you can imagine. We've had people come in the buildings, steal our tracks off the rack, name and address, go out into the world. Just happened recently here trying to, you heard it on the radio. The radio was trying to say, if you get these phone calls, they're a fraud, they're a deception, they're trying to raise money. They actually got the pastor's phone number, Brother Parsons' cell phone number, and even used it. What they do then, they'd go out, and I've had this happen at several businesses in town through years at different times. Somebody come in with one of our tracks and say, "I'm from Landmark. We're taking up an offering." And some of them got some money. I even reimbursed some folks that through years, a time or two, that fell for it. That's a dirty trick, to use the church that way. I've also had them. I've even had the police come to me a time or two about somebody that was into probably being a pedophile or sexual sin under the guise of soul winning. That's terrible. With one of our tracks, "I'm from Landmark." Crazy. I know it's a sad thing, but when God's church is abused like that, it's a target anymore. It used to not be a target. The world used to, even a lost, ungodly sinner had more respect for the house of God. But that's not true anymore. We've had those kind of things happen. And they're going to increase. We've got to watch out for that. Sad but true. I mentioned last week how the FBI has got out of hand, become weaponized. Not the footman, not the group that actually gets out and catches the crooks, but high up has really been corrupted. Of course, the attack on Trump's home down in South Florida. And the other ways it's been abused. And I gave you an example of a woman being waking up at daylight, her daughter saying the FBI's at the door with guns. That's a shock. She hadn't done anything. But to be falsely accused is a hard thing. You know that? I know a church out in another state that I've preached at that pervert accused the principal. He didn't have anything to do with anything, but they put him all over TV and all over the news. See, it used to be you could face your accuser. Used to be that you were innocent till proven guilty. We've moved to Orwell's day that he predicted now, where you're guilty if you're charged. If you just have a phone call against you, next thing you know, you got somebody at the door to arrest you. That is the police state that is predicted for the end days. That is on us, and that is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. I had at least probably three occasions. I'm thinking clearly of two right now. We're right here at our church. I had the FBI show up to see me about some of you evil members out there that had been accused. Now you say, "Who?" Well, look at your neighbor. You think it was him? All right, I'm playing with you some now. But You say, yeah, I thought he looked guilty. Well, he may be. But I've had at least two or three occasions where they showed up to check somebody out. And it's a scary thing because they like to scare you because they figure in that first 2 minutes that they got you scared to death, you're going to confess to something. I remember one time I'm going to tell you all the details, so don't get excited. I'll just tell you a little bit. I walked out the office door right in the middle of, right after lunch. My car was parked right there, and I was fixing to go to the hospital. Now, I know now, thinking about it, that they had to be watching or even know, I guess, knowing I was fixing to leave. Have you ever seen on TV those detective shows, those police stories, where the cars all come zooming into the parking lot at the same time and block a car? Well, that's what they did. One here, there's three cars. I was just opening the door to get in the car. Now, that's a little exciting, especially when they got their guns. They're reaching for the guns, and they want you to see the gun. Never pointed the gun at me, but they want me to see it. And I said, what in the world? We need to talk to you. They figure right then, if you're guilty of anything, you're fixing to confess. You know, it's got you scared, you know. So right there in the daylight, in the regular day, and I said, I'm on my way to the hospital. We believe this is important. We'd like for you to go back in the office. We can talk with you. So I did. About that time, one of our faithful church ladies was driving up, and she saw them rush in on me like that, and I thought, I wonder what she thinks. They finally caught that crooked pastor. No, I knew her good enough. No, she didn't think that, but she had to witness it. We go in the office, and it was three men. Two of them were FBI agents, and one of them was a local undercover policeman over in the Tampa area. Talk about your school having a good reputation, Brother Burke. When we went in there and sat down, they were playing good cop, bad cop with me, you know, two FBI. And the Florida man, he sat there with a nice smile on his face, and he was genuinely friendly. He said, I've been following your football team for years, y'all. And boy, I thank God we were winning at that time, amen? And so he and I were getting along fine. But they said, one of your church members has threatened the president. Threatened the president. I said, I don't believe that. I said, we might have talked about him some. Bill Clinton was the president at that time. I said, we probably talked about him some, but ain't nobody threatening him. Well, we take a dim view of anybody threatening the president. And there's more to it than that, but I just say, by that time I got my wits back about me, and I was pretty well kind of enjoying it by that time, to tell you the truth. And I said, we don't have to worry about him anymore. I said, you know, nobody wants to kill him because we like to talk about him. We take a dim view of that. I said, we don't have to worry about him anymore. The IRS has got him. They fell for it. What? I said, oh, yeah, the IRS has got him. He lied on his income tax papers. What? I said, yeah, he put down he was the head of the house. They couldn't help it. One of them had to smile a little bit. The other, he still looked like death warmed over. But the Florida man, he got a good laugh. He and I'd sit there and laugh about it. That's not all the story, but that's close. And but they accused somebody falsely. Somebody, and here's where I'm getting back to. Somebody had accused somebody in our membership to the authorities, which caused them to come out. We are in a day and time when somebody can pick up the phone and accuse you, and then you get a knock on your door. This is the police state we have moved to. False accusation. And one of the things they said to me finally at the end, and there's one guy, he never smiled. I never saw him smile at all. But one of them kind of got a little more friendly, said, preacher, said, we understand that. But you understand we have to check out every accusation we get. Understood what he was saying. But isn't it a sad day if somebody don't like you? If you did something they didn't like. By the way, now on the highway, everybody's got a cell phone. I remember a man in this church, they followed him and finally stopped him, and he hadn't done anything wrong. He said, "Why'd y'all stop me?" They said, "Well, somebody back down the road called and said you were wobbling all over the road." And he was sharp. He said, "No, I don't think that's what I was doing, but I think they got close enough to read my bumper sticker, and they don't like who I'm voting for." And that was exactly what had happened. Pick up the phone, call the law, just like I just told you a while ago. This guy in the news got in his truck, ran down the alley, ran over an 18-year-old young man because he was Republican and they'd had a disagreement in their discussion. That was in the news this week. Anybody see it? Raise your hand if you say, "All right, all right." Yeah, got bailed out immediately so he could go do it again. On a low bail, too. Oh, come on, folks, it's a late hour. I wouldn't suggest staying home and watching TV if you can come to the house of God. I'd rather lunch from here to heaven than any place I can think of. And that could happen a lot quicker than most of us think. Well, I'm not through, but you got me off on that story. Got to watch what you think. I pick up on your thoughts, and next thing you know, I'm telling something I didn't intend to. All right. Time's up. God forgive me when I didn't get very far. Okay, well, it's not so good. Well, 727 total. A few minutes and we'll get the preaching service started. Stay with us, please.